Page 269, review of higher charges for council operated facilities. Now, I just have to check, we've got different options here, have we not? What's option X? I just have someone take us through that. Mr. Lyons.
To the Chair, this paper presents, it reviews the usage of our community areas and the charges that we currently charge, both for corporations and also for community members. The paper puts forward seven options on page 283 for Council's consideration. The first option is just the status quo as far as the charges go. The second one, option two, is just rounding them out and bringing consistency across all of the charges across the eight different areas. Three and four apply 75% and 50% discounts respectively. Five just as a single rate, and six and seven are variations where we have 100% for the corporate but discounts of 75 and 50% for the community. This responds to elected member interest in reducing our higher fees and making them more accessible to the community.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. And really, we do thank staff for the analysis. It came from the concerns that I and others had about our facilities not being utilised well in some cases because of the high charges. So it's time to have a good hard look at cutting them back. Someone to move one of those options? Preferably Councillor Bulescu? Yep. Well, I'll come back to you then. We'll take any questions. Councillor Byron?
Thank you, Your Worship. Just a question. Are we actually able to do this today because we are in caretaker?
We are able to make decisions up to the value of about $800,000, my calculation. Or Ms. Thwaites corrects me, very technically correct. It is actually 1% of our what revenue, total revenue, which is about what? About 700 odd thousand. So I was being a little bit generous. Thank you. Mr. Mifsud says it's not a problem. So what we're talking about means very little in terms of our budget, but means a lot in terms of unfunded community groups. Ms. Byram, Councillor Byram, thank you for the question. It's a very valid one, but I think that answers it. Any other questions before we keep going? Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, I have a question perhaps for Mr. Mifsud about the repercussions of changing our corporate rate in terms of our financial picture. Is there anything serious that we should be aware of?
Through the Chair, as the Mayor's articulated very well, the amount we're talking about here is relatively minor and insignificant, so no, there's no consequences that we need to be concerned about.
Questions, Councillor Hutchinson? Questions, Councillor Hull?
The usage issue that the Mayor raised, and that I know other people will raise, how does that correlate? Is there any advice from staff how that correlates against the charges we actually charge? Is there any evidence-based approach to this as to if we do reduce the cost of those groups that use the halls, is there any evidence to suggest that the usage will increase?
Mr. Lyons?
Through the Chair, I've just asked Mr. Damien Garcia to come up to see if he can comment on that as well. I think when we look at the report, there are two clear usage patterns. One is in the neighbourhood centres, where we have quite high internal use. In fact, you'll see numbers like Cowinda has 83%, and in these areas we typically run our neighbourhood centre programs, so that's quite self-explanatory. The other areas are for our typically our libraries, our co-civic centre, our MCC venue, etc., where we have much lower usage, and we have a reasonable split between external usage and internal usage as well. Your question about if we reduce the fees, would there be a resultant increase in usage?
If, Mr. Garcia.
Yes. There is no anecdotal evidence to suggest that that usage would increase if the fee was reduced.
Well, sorry, I'm going to step in and correct you on that straight away, because I can start giving some anecdotes.
Mm-hmm.
There may be no scientific study of it, but there's certainly anecdotal evidence. All you can say is that you haven't heard the anecdotes as a manager. But please go on.
Yeah, that's a true statement.
Weird question from my own point of view, this is one of the things that sort of triggered this inquiry. I have heard from a number of small community groups, resident groups and so on, that they don't go to our facilities because they cost $20, $25, and recently we put them up to $30. But for, we're talking about groups of breastfeeding mums, new arrival groups, resident groups I can think of, that meet in people's homes rather than meet at a, which obviously is some imposition and one has to recognise the sacrifice and generosity involved in that, but rather than going to these facilities which are designed for such a purpose, because they're groups that don't have any funding, and why should they all chip in $2 each for a meeting when they could spend that on buying a cake to share it at someone's home. But really, if the cost was less, that's the indication that's been given to me. It's only, I could say it's hearsay, it's not scientific, but certainly there is some anecdotal evidence.
Right, well,
Councillor Hull.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. My Dorothy Dixer didn't go astray. I got an answer. The elephant in the room in the city, I think, is the Cove Community Centre. It was set up to be a business enterprise hub. Clearly that hasn't worked. I hear that it's cost prohibitive for business people to use it. Is that one good case in question that we could actually address by changing this around? And the other part of the question is, given that we've got such a surplus, is it such a big issue to actually give some money back to the community to use facilities that are already paid for?
Well, that's a point of debate, so I'll just take that as rhetorical. But getting back to your point about evidence-based, the only real test of this is to lower the charges substantially and then come back in a year and reassess usage, including appropriate marketing of what we're doing. And not between now and 9th of November, I really don't mean that. Well, yes, that usage, if we're going to go with that the 50% discount option, that usage be reviewed in 12 months' time would make a lot of sense. And I've got one, and to have marketing of the availability and fee reduction in relation to our facilities. So I'm asking for staff to help with the wording of that while we're dealing with questions. And while we're at it, I've got another suggestion that members might want to take up in relation to this motion, and that would be for managers of our facilities to have a KPI in relation to usage of the facility. So, Mr. Skull, what would you say to that?
Challenging KPI because I'm not sure how much impact the manager would have on the usage.
Maybe it should be with you then, Mr. Skull.
Say for doing good marketing and hoping that people take it up. So it'll be a challenging KPI for myself or Mr. Garcia or Mr. Lyons or anybody. But I'd love to see more community groups in there, so I think the direction this is going is terrific.
All right. Mr. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. Firstly, just to support
Councillor Hall. I've also had anecdotal information from the business community that they don't use the Cove Civic Centre because of the cost. And even as recently as this week, a resident told me they didn't use the Marion Cultural Centre because the theatre was too expensive for smaller voluntary groups to hire to do film shows and things. So just add that in there. But my question is, for Mr. Misford, just to confirm that if we do a 50% decrease in our costs for residents and businesses, the maximum we could lose is $100,000 or thereabouts by me reading the report.
Through the chair.
There's no increase in usage.
Yeah, through the chair, Councillor Crossland, we did discuss that a couple of weeks ago, and that's around about correct, yes.
And the second question, if I may, Worship.
Yes.
If at the moment, am I correct in saying that we don't even know how many of those users are residents or businesses in the city of Marion? So that's the worst case scenario. But this type of resolution will actually give us an indication of how many of those people are residents that are paying, as we say, through the nose for a facility that paid for once to build, now they're paying for to rent, and the residents that use it that haven't paid to build it and haven't paid for its upkeep are getting it at the same price. That doesn't seem fair.
Staff comment? Is this an opportunity to assess how many of our users... Sorry, that's already in there, is it? Well, I thought that if people adopt the option of 50% discount, that would apply to everyone anyway. Is that right? But there's an option X, which, what did we say, which one is it? That's 50% for everyone, isn't it? Mr. Lyons, can you hear me out there?
So, to the Chair, the options are independent from Recommendation 3. So the options, the seven options, are simply different fee structures, whether it be for corporate or community groups. And then Recommendation 3 is on top of that and provides a further 50% discount for corporations and community groups within Marion.
I see. So you're saying that even if option 4, 50% reduction from the current level of fees, was adopted, that there'd be this is an option for a further discount. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Lyons?
Well, I think it is what I'm saying, even though Councillor Crossland is shaking his head. And I'd also suggest that, therefore, on that basis, the maximum reduction is actually a little bit more than the $100,000. I can see you're disagreeing with that, Councillor Crossland.
Let's have this interaction, Councillor Crossland, your question.
Yeah, no, when I put that option forward, I wanted the discount to apply just to Marion residents and Marion businesses.
So, look, this is one where we might have amendments to deal with, or even testing motions and then coming back with a second motion, because that's really like status quo, but applying the option of 50% for locals. The other option that isn't there at the moment is an amendment which used the next 12 months to, in fact, assess how many of our facility users are locals as opposed to residents outside the city, residents or businesses outside the city. That would involve extensive questioning of our users, but there's no doubt it could be done. That's something I'll leave with you. Right, we're still in the question phase, believe it or not. Councillor Valescu, you're going to come back with a motion, but do you just have a question for now?
I just had a question. If we were to adopt option 7, which is rounding 100% for corporate and 50% for community, that option, obviously, the community members wouldn't have to say where they were from. However, could we incorporate with that a 50% deduction in the corporate rate for businesses located in the city of Marion? And then if we were to do that, any idea what the costs would be?
Well, if we don't know the proportion of users that are from within the city, it's going to be, I suspect, very hard to work out. But managers, welcome to have a crack at it. Mr. Scott?
Thank you, Chair. I confirm with Mr. Garcia that at the moment we don't take any information about postcode. But I'd like to suggest that it's reasonably easy. If I shop at Rebel Sports, they ask me my postcode and it takes 2 seconds. So I think we can do that when people are making the booking to ask whether they're residents of Marion. But at the moment, the Mayor's correct, we don't have that information.
Councillor Telfer.
Through the Chair to Mr. Garcia. Can you give us an indication? I believe most groups would hire for 2 to 3 hours so that the rates we have here are hourly, and generally a group might have it for 3 hours?
Through the Chair, most groups do hire for more than 1 hour so that they would generally hire for a half a day, which would be a 4 hour block. It does depend on the site, though. So at the community centres, quite often they do hire for shorter periods of time. But I think particularly at the Cove Civic Centre, they are longer bookings than generally 1 hour.
Right. Councillor Westwood had a question.
Yes, I'm sorry. I can't see the indication of hourly rate on the table on page whatever it is. 283, thank you.
Mr. Garcia, can you help with that?
Am I missing it?
What's the table, which facility?
283, it's all the facilities.
All together.
With the rates. Where's the sale? Yeah, where's the sale?
Yeah, can
Council,
you help or not?
Try it.
Anyone?
Through the Chair, those are the hourly rates. On the preceding pages, there are tables that show what the community rate is per hour, and then they're reflected again on page 283.
So it's like a summary?
Yes.
That's a summary, okay.
Councillor Valescu to move.
Or I move, that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to know, are there any insurance considerations that we need to know about that for groups that are using this facility on a regular basis?
Mr. Garcia?
Through the Chair, so all hirers should have their own public indemnity insurance. For those smaller groups that don't, Council does have an option where they can pay a $10 fee and use, I guess, fall under our insurance.
How often can they use this?
As far as I'm aware, there is no limit to the amount of times that they can use it. As far as I'm aware.
Can you check? Because I've been told something different.
Okay.
A question on notice about what residents or resident groups get for their $10 public liability insurance fee. Councillor Crossland.
Sorry, Worship, just a follow-on from that. So is that $10 insurance available to residents of the City of Marion or all residents wherever they're from?
It's available for everyone. Anyone who hires one of our Marion facilities.
Okay. Councillor Valescu, let's kick this off. What's your motion?
I'd like to move option 7 with an addition that we provide a 50% discount to businesses registered within the City of Marion to encourage the businesses in the local area to use these facilities. I'd also like to move a point that we offer our staff the option to waive the insurance fees for small community users.
So there's
a different dot point. So it would be option 7, and because option 7 already has a 50% discount for community, all we'd need to do is to change it to just businesses.
And Councillor, can I ask you, what do you think of the idea of assessing the proportion of users who are Marion-based as opposed to external?
I think it's worth doing. So I'm happy to include that we monitor the usage and resident and non-resident use.
So we've already got the point six, which incorporated some of those points that came out during questions.
Yep.
I presume you're happy with those. So maybe just wait for a moment for it to be recorded properly with those variations.
Your Worship, can I foreshadow a different motion if this one fails?
I'll come back to you, Councillor Crossland. Right. Councillor Valescu to check it, but I think we have in order what you have set out.
I'm happy to take some advice on that, but
I've got a question on that.
Mr. Lyons, can you...
Just with regards to the insurance, you'll notice that all of the fees have at least a $10 minimum charge, so that does cover that insurance. So what we'd like to do is just leave that as a $10 minimum charge. That covers that. It means that it costs nothing because the $10 goes straight to the insurance and we get no revenue.
That means that adopting this motion will actually have that insurance paid for within the fee. Is that right? And I think that... For users that don't have their own insurance, it would be included within the fees which are set in this motion if it's passed. Councillor Vesky, you wish to speak further to it?
So do you worship... look, I'd like to thank the staff for the report. I probably would have looked at having some different categories in this report. For identifying smaller groups, because I think that the community groups, even the resident groups, will fall into different categories. And those people that are currently in people's homes probably may need more of a discount. I would have liked to see a report that actually looked at ways, if people were happy paying what they're paying now, that we keep that, and then those people that were struggling would get the discount. But I'm happy to proceed with this because obviously we are giving something back to people. I would prefer to have a discount for residents for the City of Marion, but I do think that I'm happy to give that to all the community groups operating in our area, because they probably provide an opportunity for people in our area, for our residents, to participate and gain some benefit. Even though they may not be a community group registered in the city. So I'm happy to extend that 50% community discount to everyone. If people want to change that, I guess that's up to them, but I prefer to keep it as is.
Councillor Gard has seconded. You wish to speak?
Yes, I do commend your worship. Option 7 as amended. I think... there's a lot of work for us to do, and I take Councillor Howell's point on the Cove Civic Centre. I've made it clear to our marketing people that we really do have to market hard when we have particular services that are really in competition with private services. We have to use the principles of marketing. Here we're facing one concerning pricing, the subject of price elasticity. And that's something that really needs to be studied and understood, because as we know, there are certain commodities that you can put the price up and up and up, and demand will not cease until it gets to a certain point. That's an elasticity factor. In other commodities, there's inelastic situations. So we need to understand what we have, and it will be different from facility to facility. The other thing I am concerned about with all of our facilities, and that is that they do tend to take on the appearance of something more government and less private, let's say, and I've said for all 4 years of my tenure as a councillor that the Cove Civic Centre is not being well presented in what it offers. It's presented as in terms of signage from the road, where there's huge traffic going past, and I think we really need to address that, particularly with that facility, but with all others as well, so that people do understand that there are services there, they're useful services, and that they will be prepared to use them. And it all starts with that sort of exposure, merged, of course, with good planning, good marketing planning activity. Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Crossland in opposition.
No, I'm going to move it. I believe I could move this as an amendment.
Yes, you're welcome to.
I'm going to move an amendment, please, which basically adopts option four, which is still the 50% discount in the original motion. The 50% discount is only available to businesses and residents registered within the City of Marion. That's the motion that was originally costed, $100,000. And everything else can be the same. Order?
A point of order from Councillor Hull?
It appears to be the direct opposite on that point.
I was just considering that before you pulled the trigger on that one, Councillor Hull. It seems to me that the only difference, I'm checking this with Councillor Crossland, the only difference is the group of people who are residents, not businesses, they get 50, all of them get 50% under Councillor Blesby's motion, but only Marion residents under the terms of the Crossland amendment. So I think that is still in the spirit of the motion. It's testing one component of a series of things. So I think there's no point of order. I would accept it as an amendment. Yes, Mr. Lyons?
Councillor Crossland, can I just clarify? I think we might be saying the same things but confusing our 50%. If we look at page 283, we have used option two as sort of a base scenario. And you'll notice for the top room hire, which is the CCC hall, option two has $100.70. If we go all the way over to option seven, that retains the full corporate hire of $100, but has a 50% charge for the community of $35. So I don't want to confuse the 100% and the 50 at the top of the column. All it is the rationale for working out the fees, and then the residents or businesses within Marion would get a further 50% on top of that. I hope we're talking the same things, or
well,
if that makes sense.
I must say that's thoroughly confused me, so I'll try and make some sense.
I'll try and clarify it. So we have the charges we have at the moment, which I believe is the status quo in option one.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is that businesses, no, which is corporate, community, which is residents, both get a 50% discount if they are businesses operating registered in the City of Marion or residents that live in the City of Marion. So they are the only group that get a discount on option one's fees.
Mr. Lyons, what do you say to that?
I thought was option four.
So page 283 is independent of where people live, whether they're in Marion or out of Marion, and we have used option two as our base, not option one, simply because it's all rounded and they're nice, neat numbers, but that's neither here or there. And then to come up with a series of options, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, we have either left the corporate rate as it is, i.e. it's 100%, or reduced the community rate by a percentage just to make it more affordable, nothing more, nothing less. So option seven leaves the corporate as it is and just halves the community. It's
well,
50%.
Well, then, I think I don't think that changes my position, because Councillor Crossland is taking the option seven that was adopted by Councillor Valescu. Councillor Valescu was putting in a qualification for local businesses that they would get 50% off if they're local, so that in the final column on page 283, the $100 would become $50 for local businesses, correct?
Correct.
Councillor Valescu? Yep. So therefore, no, please, let's not talk about options 1 to 6. We're dealing with option 7. Community under Councillor Valescu's option, or motion, I should say, was to give $35 to any community members, wherever they come from. The amendment is to say it would be 70, in other words, the status quo, for outsiders and $35 for locals.
Correct.
So it seems to me that is a simple amendment to option 7, which is effectively to charge the status quo price if people are not Marion-based residents.
100% correct. Thank you.
So let's just check that staff have worded that. Sorry, can staff just take me through the wording that they've changed there? Is it easy? I'll just ask staff, is it easier to work from another option?
Can I ask a question, Your Worship?
Not at the moment, thank you, Councillor. It's a question to staff at the moment, and I'm just hoping for an answer. Is it easier to work from another option to get this solution? Mr. Skull.
Could I suggest that the Crosland option for residents of Marion and businesses in Marion is option 4, and for everybody else it would be option 2 rounded out, so that so option 4 for the residents and option 2 for everybody else.
Well, I see. It's the option 4 figures. They become two tables in a sense. Option 2 for external hirers, option 4 for internal hirers, whereas option 7 has one from each of those tables, effectively. So, now, Councillor Hutchinson, please.
Right, we've been having our own caucus over here, Your Worship, and the way the motion was originally written, and I could see Mr. Lyons, it might be useful if he was listening to this as well, is that the additional 0.3 is 50% off of the table that's already there for users.
I understand that. I clarified that earlier.
Yep, so you took 7, it's half of the $35 and half of the $100.
There are two ways to skin this cat, and I probably shouldn't be talking about cats this year, but this is one way to do it. The other way would have been to have status quo, but adopt the option for City of Marion-based residents and businesses, right? And that's what you're pointing out to me, I think.
We're saying that it should be half of...
Half again.
Yeah.
That's the amendment. Surely it becomes the same as option 1 with the 50% discount for internals. Not internals, City of Marion based. Isn't that right? Councillor Hutchinson.
No, because if you read option 7, it's $100, right?
Which is status quo.
Right?
For businesses.
$100, you take 50% off.
Yes.
But if we're adopting the way that that motion is structured, if you adopt 7, and then you're going to take 50% off for...
We're not doing that. If you read it, it's option 2...
Option now you've
two,
changed it, mate.
Well, catch up with the play, Councillor Hutchinson. Right, the motion's in order. Would you like to speak to it? Councillor Crossland.
I still think we need to take off line 4, because now it says adopts option 2 and adopts an option 4. So it's
correct.
Adopts option 2.
We don't have the additional.
From the... So that... We've got 2.4, so if we delete
the
that...
The second one, option 4, not the first. Oh,
that's it.
It's gone. I'm just glad we have a word processor.
Maybe it would be better for the motion just to say adopts a 50% discount after you've done that
how it's worded there.
Crossland? It's really option one with the optional 50%, which Mr. Lyons outlined.
Correct.
That's going to be simpler, isn't it?
It
because
is.
In terms of reading the motion, when we wake up on Friday morning with a hangover, you don't want to be adopting two options at the same time.
Correct.
Now, with apologies to staff and with thanks to Councillor Hutchinson for pointing this out to me, and I don't know why he didn't speak up earlier, but if we could, I think what Councillor Crossan wants is adopting option one, but with the 50% deduction for businesses and residents based in the City of Marion, as per the original option wording.
Chris, sorry, can we...
Order one at a time.
Sorry, Worship. So the figures we actually would like to use is option two. That's the rounded figures. Still does exactly what you're saying, Your Worship, but those figures are the better figures for this motion. And then it's 50% to Marion residents as a discount from January 2019.
No, thank you.
And businesses.
I accept that. That you wanted the more logical, comparable figures. So, I had other people commenting. Mr. Waits, do you have any more? Mr. Lyons, do you have any more? Right, then we're in business. Councillor Crossland, would you like to speak to the motion? We've got a few minutes left.
Very briefly, Your Worship. Yes, look, this, as I've already mentioned, at the worst case scenario, it's going to cost Council $100,000, which with a surplus of $6 million, I don't think we're going to be worried about. What it does do is it gives back to community groups and businesses in the City of Marion in particular, which are the very groups that we keep saying we want to support. It doesn't mean that other groups can't carry on hiring at the same time with the same fee, but to be fair, they haven't paid for those halls. They're not paying for the upkeep. They're not paying for the staff. We need to give our businesses and our residents an advantage, and this motion does that. I believe it will see a significant increase in the use of our halls, and I just think it's got a review in it. Let's give it a go. The worst we can do is we lose 100,000. If we get a couple more hirers, we end up losing nothing. And as we've already said, we're not running these facilities to make money. If we lost 100,000, it doesn't matter, but if they're full, I'll be happy.
Is the amendment seconded? Councillor Hutchinson, and of course you can speak to either the original motion or the amendment.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, I will speak to it. I commend the motion as printed. Our marketing plan's right there, members. It's 50% discount from the current year for City of Marion residents. This is what other councils actually are already doing that aren't listed in the report. They are already offering these sort of discounts to their residents. We should be doing the same, and I think it makes good sense. We've got plenty of money in the budget. I was even prodding through that to line of questioning that we go a step further with the residents, but that's okay. I'm happy with where we've landed.
Post-Christmas sale. Might be like the big department stores in Rundle Mall come 1st of January. Are we rushing in? Now, with the amendment, that is now dealt with before we go further. So we're voting on the amendment. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against the amendment. The amendment is carried. And we now deal with the amended motion, which is up on the screen. People may speak for or against the motion as amended. Question, Councillor Hull?
Is it correct that users of any of these facilities have got a $10 cost for insurance?
Built into the fee.
Built into the fee, right. That being the case, recently a community group wanted to use the Cultural Centre for a candidates forum, being the Save the Marion Cultural Centre group, and they actually had to cancel that event because of prohibitive costs for insurance. So what was told to those people that would have brought about that outcome if it was only $10?
Can anyone advise further? It might have been the total fee that was prohibitive, but I don't know. So it was in relation to community group inquiring about hiring the MCC Theatre recently. They understood that the public liability was going to be prohibitive, and what we've heard tonight is that hiring council facilities would have a $10 insurance fee built in within the fee. So that they didn't have any, they wouldn't have unincorporated, wouldn't have had any public liability insurance of their own. So would they, do you know if they were told that, or you know, can you enlighten us why they might have come to believe that?
So the Chair, I can only restate what I've said, and I can take that on notice and get back to you. My understanding is that we require hirers to have their own insurance. If they don't, then we charge that $10 amount. What I'd like to do is just take that on notice, please, and get back to you.
Well, let's take that on notice in relation to the specifics. But I just detected an inconsistency just in my understanding that I thought, Mr. Lyons, you just said that if community groups don't have their own public liability insurance, they get charged an extra $10. But I thought that earlier in the debate you were saying that the fees would include the $10 insurance. Well, they can't both be true, can they?
So with this arrangement, there would still be a $10 minimum charge, and if that required the insurance to be paid, that would come out of that $10 minimum charge.
Well, all of the fees, even under the new proposal, are at least 20, aren't they? So there would always be $10. So there would always be $10 in it, wouldn't there? But Councillor Hull's scenario referred to the current arrangements. I mean, are hirers without public liability insurance of council facilities currently told you need to get some, or you pay $10 extra, or what are they told?
And the best person to answer that through the Chair is Ms. Byrne, and she's on leave, and I need to take that on notice and get back to you.
All right, another question on notice, but fair question.
Well, it is a fair question, Mr. Mayor, but let's hope that
enough said. We were in the middle of a debate. People can speak for or against. Councillor, if you want to, I thought you were just responding to the question, but if you want to speak for or against the motion, you're welcome to.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy. I did have some sympathy for Councillor Bursky's original motion, but this will be reviewed. Now, it does say 2 yearly basis, so that was...
So we're assessing usage in and users in 12 months, but the fees and charges in 2 years. It's a little bit messy. Possibly that should be 2019-20 if we're assessing the usage in 1 year.
Well, they conflict.
Yeah? Right. That's right, because you're right. So it's it's 15 months from now, you're sort of getting your data for the following budget. So, 2021 makes sense. Yeah, thank you.
So essentially, I'm taking a pragmatic view and supporting this because there is the flexibility to review this again and see how it's travelling and react appropriately.
Sure. Councillor Westwood?
Yes, I like to be even-handed, so I'll speak for and against. But seriously, I think I'm very happy to see the fees come down. That's a very good idea. And I don't think they're actually going to be low enough for some groups. But it's a very good step. It's a step in the right direction.
I suppose that means the next person can speak for or against and then for.
Well, that's for you to decide, Mr. Mayor. But anyway, so generally speaking, I'm very happy that the fees have come down. I think it'll be more workable. So very happy with that. Thank you very much.
Councillor Hutchinson, hasn't he already spoken?
Actually, are there 3 mayoral candidates in the chamber or 4?
Order. That just sounds like attention grabbing. And we don't like to see that in the chamber. I think we've run our race. Councillor Valescu, you have the opportunity as the mover to come back.
Yeah, look, I'm quite happy with the amendment. it still gets a good price for our ratepayers, residents and also businesses. And I think the businesses is the big one where we can actually get them out of their homes and give them get them into a proper facility. I've had people interested in business approaching me, and I've directed them to the economic development team. So hopefully more and more people will be using these facilities. I think one thing we do need to look at is just to be aware of the internal hiring in some of these community facilities actually provides programs for our community. So it's not as if the staff are going in there having meetings or morning teas. They're actually providing programs which are beneficial to people. So I think that's something to be noted. It may not have been that clear in the report. So a lot of that stuff, for example, that happens in Cowinda is a prime example of that. So I guess we've sorted out the fees, but I would like to encourage staff to keep on doing what they're doing to assist our community members and our businesses, and I hope that we do see a significant increase in the number of people using our facilities as a result, because that's what they're for.
I'll put the motion as amended. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. It was hard work, but we've obviously come to a very good result. Thank you. Members, I'm conscious of time. We've got less than an hour. We have a lot of time-sensitive motions. The draft Coastal Climate Change Adaptation Plan, much as it is an important issue, with your leave, I would deal with it at the end of the meeting, because we may run out of time. So if there's no objection, I'll keep moving along. And that means that the next item would be Christmas trading hours. I'm happy to bring Christmas to you. Councillor Telfer. Is that seconded? Councillor Hull. Plenty of cheer to go around. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. No one wants to move the date of Christmas Day, thank goodness. Page 317, election of representative members of the LGFA Board of Trustees, with our own Mr. Tony Lyons featuring in the starters list. There's a suggestion in the recommended motion that we vote for two. Is it necessary to vote for two? We have to vote for two, like a council election. Councillor Pfeiffer?
Just a question, Worship. Look, why this, and this relates to all three of these election items. Why is it the LGA and LGFA elections are being held not just prior to the local government elections, but actually during the elections, when the ballots are hitting the letterboxes, that these elections are taking place within the actual AGM of the LGA? Would it not be more logical for the AGM to be in a month's time, once we know who is actually elected?
Councillor Pfeiffer, I've raised the issue at the Metropolitan Mayor's meetings and also to an extent at the last general meeting about the LGA's bungling of the timing in relation to their constitutional reform. But this issue of the timing of the general meeting, which will occur every 4 years in the same way, I've referred to as well. It's obviously a problem. And it could easily be fixed. The suggestion I made was that the appointment of positions take place a year either side of a council election. You'll always have the problem of people who are on an LGA position, board position, who then don't get re-elected at their council, so they might have to come off. But at least you've got a person who does a year and then a casual vacancy that's filled for a year, rather than a person who's elected for a week and then a casual vacancy is filled for 4 years. But if, you know, there's a certain power, I suppose, in the filling of casual vacancies, and I don't know if there's a sinister design by it, but I agree that it's not best practice governance. Mr. Waits is our governance officer on board. Any comment? She's not making a very loud comment, so I'll take that as a negative.
Your Worship, because, I mean, we're not allowed to actually attend the AGM of the LGA unless we pay our own way, because of the caretaker policy.
Oh, no, it's clarification. Everybody can go to the AGM. I don't pay to go to the... and I don't ask ratepayers to pay to go to the conference for a day and a half beforehand with all the bed rolls and everything else. I go to the AGM and it's free. So you can turn up.
Sure. But it seems odd that we can't go to the actual conference itself, and yet we can vote for office bearers for the LGA for the next couple of years.
You can go to the conference itself if you're willing to pay for it yourself. But it's not accepted as training, development, etc., as a councillor worthy of payment by the council. And, you know, there's been some discussion about that. So during caretaker, we don't pay, the council doesn't pay for or reimburse people's fees, but in other circumstances, council is prepared to do so because it's seen as a benefit to councillors. You know, question that, but that's the theory. Councillor Pfeiffer, keep going.
Look, my final swing at it, is it appropriate for us to be putting names on ballots during caretaker?
You're not breaching anything by doing so, because that's the timing and all that has been provided by the LGFA, the LGA, etc. So you're not breaching anything by doing it.
Look, there are things to be said either way for it. On the one hand, it does seem to be insane to be voting for a whole group of people who might not be eligible in a month from now. On the other hand, if we don't have our say, then we're not participating democratically and allowing some less satisfactory candidates potentially to be elected. So, from that point of view, there's always a democratic value in exercising the right to vote. I'll just take other questions before we proceed. Just going around the table, anybody on my left? Councillor Hutchinson?
In terms of the Greater Adelaide one, are members required to resign their position if they are not elected?
I believe for the elected members, they must be a member of a council to hold an LGA board position. Just ask Ms. Thwaites to confirm.
Yes, that's correct.
But that doesn't apply to officers of, that is to say, staff of the council who are elected, unless, of course, they leave council employment. Yes, so... look, people have tactical reasons for nominating sometimes, even if they don't expect to be elected. Further questions? Councillor Hull?
Makes sense, does it?
Mayor Trainor's nomination...
Not nominating as mayor, he's retiring.
That's correct. I'm advised by Mr. Thwaites that all of the other elected members have nominated for council positions other than Mayor Trainor. I'll keep going with questions. Councillor Byrum, all done? Right. Well, we're actually just dealing with the LGFA at the moment because we must take these one by one. As I've said, we've got Mr. Tony Lyons there. There are two positions, so we really want to select one other person. When in doubt, I vote for a woman, but I don't have any strong recommendations for you. If people are you all voting, are you? All right. Sorry, are you people voting for all of them? We're just doing the first one. Good. Right.
No, so you need to vote at least two.
Well, we're not going to count informal votes. Those of you who are recommending, those of you who are going for re-election, I think that's everybody here, actually. Just tell people who you want to vote for you that they, if they're voting in a ward, they need to mark two candidates. Some people tonight didn't know that, obviously. We've had some informal votes in this very difficult ballot. Well, people were voted before they got the instructions. That's always a bad move. And I advise councillors not to reveal who voted informally either.
Can I add to that? Thank you. Because being on the board, I will say that Sam Telfer is the one who does ask the pertinent questions. He's not frightened to. He really does speak up and ask those questions. And he's been the only one of the candidates that I've really heard talking about change is required in the LGA. The others are not talking about that so much. So Sam is the one who's really wanting to get in there and try and move forward.
Councillor Hutchinson?
Yeah, I believe that all the other candidates other than Sam have actually been a president at some point in time in the last 8 to 10 years.
Probably. If you say in the last 80 years, I'd accept that. Councillor Valescu?
Because I think that Mayor Dave Burgess was not so long ago the president. And then
he's allowed to have another crack under the rules.
Because he was put on the Grants Commission or something. I don't know if that was... Okay.
You can put up your hand as often as you like. Councillor Whit.
So how many were you allowed to vote for as a maximum?
Right, so if you're filling in your LGA presidents, you can fill in all boxes, but you have to fill in at least one. Now we're ready for a motion because we've counted the ballots in relation to the LGFA president. Hold your breath, Mr. Lyons. Could be an upset here. It's on the there it is on the screen. So would someone like to move accordingly? Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Hutchinson. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. According to the democratic will of the chamber. Right, election of LGA President, page 335. We've had a good discussion about it. Would someone like to collect the papers?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay, you can actually. Moved, Sam Telfer by Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Hutchinson. Any dissent? Hang on, you may not need to. We've got a motion in play at the moment, Councillor Westwood. So I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now that's the democracy I like. Now, slightly more challenging only because of the numbers, page 357, seven people are required, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, out of 13, sorry, 8. Oh, and rather annoyingly, in the council report, there are seven spaces on page 357 and one on page 358. Nearly gotcha. So 8 out of 13. Look, the mayor's recommendation, I'm going to keep it in general terms. Go for the women, and when in doubt, go for a neighbouring council. But I'm not saying anything else. I still wonder how Councillor Byam can vote for herself, but anyway, it's a decision of the council, that's the thing. With my recommendations, I'm making a lot of assumptions, Councillor Appleby. I better vote. Just like voting for the Legislative Council or the Senate, it gets very difficult after the first few. That's what we did last time. Go on to page 382, members, with your leave, while we're counting. Now, the GAROC terms of reference, I think this is something where I need Mr. Waits to explain the complexity of this. I can give a brief outline that, you know, the LGA have been in the process of changing their constitution. They basically stuffed up the timing. I've never seen anything like it, where you change half the constitution and then leave half of the change, which was referred to in the first change, to be dealt with at a subsequent general meeting. But that's what they're doing. They've said they've consulted us, but I must say I didn't see a lot of detail of the consultation. One of the things which went at the last Metropolitan Mayor's meeting I attended, there was widespread desire to have the GAROC, which is the Metropolitan Group of Councils, divided into regions, basically an east-west, north-south arrangement, plus Adelaide City Council. And the LGA, because they were in a rush, they didn't have time to properly consult, they said, well, look, we'll just do it as one region across Metro Adelaide. And of course, that does have implications for voting. It means that you can it's much easier to vote for your mates, basically, and promote internal cliques. Well, you can't do that if you have four quarters and each quarter votes separately. So that's my interpretation of it and why I spoke to staff about some appropriate amendment. And this is what Ms. McKenzie's come up with. Councillor Byram, you've had a bit to do with the LGA. Did you want to comment before we start the business?
Yes, it was very confusing that we had it divided into two parts. The Mayor has said, that it's really confusing to have done it at this particular time. SARIC is the country committee that meets, and they have been running for some years with this area type thing, and they select the people, and the councils in those areas really know that person that's representing them on that SARIC, and that has worked extremely well, and I've been impressed by the comments that have been made by those councils in how that structure does work. We've had an MLGG operating for some years where all councils in the metropolitan area have been able to go, and a CEO or representative, and it's quite cumbersome. It goes for a long time in that cumbersome format. So the GAROC is the new form, following on a little bit similar to the SARIC, and moving forward. But we haven't got to the stage of the metropolitan councils agreeing to that area thing, which is where we probably want it to go in the future. So this is the first cut of it, I suppose, in moving forward to a smaller, efficient, we hope, working group.
Thank you. Mr. Waits, do you want to add anything?
No, other than the proposed amendment here is recommending that that one group is broken down into four smaller groups as opposed to leaving it as one group as a whole.
All right.
Yes.
Would someone like to move accordingly? Councillor Byram? Yes. Yep. It's an LGA constitutional matter. That's okay. Did you wish to speak further? You really just sort of explained it.
I think I've already done that.
Yeah. Councillor Pryor to second it. Question?
Question, thanks. Can someone tell me in 25 words or less what they are going to do?
Who?
GAROC.
The GAROC is separately funded by gullible council organisations, currently including all of the metropolitan councils, so that it can pay consultants to prepare reports. So, for example, where the LGA have just commissioned a rather expensive population policy report for South Australia to present to the state government, instead of the state government doing what it will do anyway, which is prepare its own consultant report on population policy, that sort of idea will be generated through either the country group of councils or the city group of councils. So the benefit really in the amendments is, as Councillor Byram said, to have a shorter group, so that at least with all of these discussions about vague sort of things, it'll be a shorter discussion because there'll be less people there. Councillor Pryor?
So we're reducing...
Sorry, that was 250 words,
yeah,
or less.
Yeah, we're reducing bureaucracy. That's the short version.
Well, even better, reducing the elected members.
We're forming a group to reduce bureaucracy. Okay, cool. Thank you.
The bureaucracy will keep growing, but for the foreseeable. Did you second it? Oh, okay. Anybody? If not, the motion will lapse. Councillor Westwood, charging in. Anything to add, Councillor?
None other than the LGA is, of course, a very worthwhile organisation. I've promoted the idea of staying as members, which, of course, was a doubt here at one stage. So I think we should battle on and see what we can do from the inside, not from the outside. Thank you.
Right, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. How are we going with the voting? Still need more time? Yep, that's fine. I know it was quite a few involved. Page 425, members, with your leave, we go on. The Commonwealth Games. What on earth are we thinking about the Commonwealth Games for? What's it got to do with us? Mr. Skull.
Thank you, Chair. The state government is asking for councils to write a letter of support to... Oh, sorry, beg your pardon, Sports SA, to write a letter of support for bringing the Commonwealth Games to Adelaide and to write a letter. We've got an example of a letter there that might be used for 2026, I believe. 2026 or 2030. Of course, they would be using for diving the State Aquatic Centre.
Well, it's Sport SA, that's a non-profit group of sort of various sports peak bodies combined, isn't it? So this is a bit like, you know, the whales and the oil and the greenhouse gas and all of those other things. It's somebody trying to get leverage from councils and get us involved in a political bun fight. Why don't they just go to the state government? But it's up to us to decide. Councillor Hull, what do you think?
I'm happy to move this, Mr. Mayor, for two reasons. One, such letters of support were requested by this council of numerous organisations to help us in our bid to get the State Aquatic Centre in the first place. It's the same principle, same process, and I applaud the state government or this organisation for approaching us. The other inherent benefit is that if it comes off, we've got the swimming event of the Commonwealth Games in our city. And that has to be good for our businesses, it has to be good for our community, to have the benefit of going to those events, and it has to be good for swimming. It has to be good in many respects. And for the sake of asking our mayor to put his signature on a letter on the pro forma, why not?
It won't be too much trouble, I can assure you. Councillor Pfeiffer?
Thank you, Your Worship. I'll second that, and I'll look forward to the opening ceremony and cycling and lawn bowls being at Edwardstown Oval.
The history event can maybe be there as well. Now, a question before we go ahead to voting. Councillor Hutchinson.
Yeah, I've got a question. Would we not need a new hotel to cover all the people that are going to be coming into the city?
Yes, let's leave that to the new council, shall we? See if any of us are here to consider it. Any further questions or opposition, Councillor Appleby?
I'm going to speak against the motion, Your Worship. I think that in the circumstances that it creates an expectation if we support it that we're going to do something financial later on, and I don't think we should be doing that. And also, we don't even own the Aquatic Centre, so it's not like we have a vested interest.
I'm happy to put on a reception or something. Anyone else in favour? Councillor Westwood.
As much as I have to disagree with the esteemed councillor who just spoke, this will provide more jobs and growth. it will provide jobs, activity around the place. Without a doubt, it will be a benefit to the city. So I'm quite in favour of this move. So, and if we're successful, or this state is successful, well, good. It's great. Thank you.
I'm glad, Councillor, you laugh at your own jokes. It keeps you in good cheer, and that rubs off on all of us. And it's getting near Christmas. Now, that was in favour. Anyone else against the sport, generally? All right, it's for the mover to close the debate.
Mr. Mayor, the only point that I picked up there was that there was a suggestion that there'll be a financial commitment required by the council. Now, if I can double check with the administration, is there any inherent expectation of that?
Well, it doesn't look like it from the letter. Mr. Snow, what are you saying?
No, there's no commitment at all from council to provide anything but this letter of support.
Right. Mr. Mayor, having cleared that up, I would actually put it to the council that there's a lot in this for our city if it was to come off. And I've already explained that there would be, whenever we have a major event, say if we have the International Surf Lifesaving Competitions, which we've had over there before, there was some research done that suggests that brought millions of dollars into our district. This would be similar. And that's the way we should be looking at it. In terms of us having no role, our city's invested how much into that pool? About $10 million, something like that. So to actually make that investment work even better for our community, why wouldn't we actually send that letter to even get better value out of that money that our ratepayers have already invested into that site? It would put Marion on the map, on the global map, at least within the so-called Commonwealth. And I think that would be a good thing. So, Mr. Mayor, I think I've got the numbers for this.
Yes. And if it comes off, I'm prepared to dive into the pool in the mayoral robes, subject to advice from the council's risk committee.
It didn't help the cause much last time. It took years for the pool to be built after you did that last time.
That was a different sort of exposure. Right, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? The athletic councillors have won the day on that one. Arm wrestle with Councillor Appleby out of the way, but it was a valid point to make. Thank you, Councillor Appleby. Now, that was carried, by the way. Page 431, they're still counting. Christchurch Adelaide Sister City Committee funding request. Well, here we go again. Bearing in mind that we've, of course, trimmed back our own sister city relationship with Cockabungie to an inexpensive but effective cultural exchange. Councillor Telfer.
That we support this with our sister city, given that we have a relationship with and knowledge of Christchurch, and given the rebuilding of Christchurch, I think it's in order.
Councillor Gard, seconding the motion to spend $1,000 for Adelaide's sister city relationship.
Your Worship, notwithstanding that it was probably a grave oversight not to have insurance for something of that nature, I think South Australia is getting an extra shot in the arm from the mishap by way of the exposure that we're getting over there for our artist here. $1,000 to me would be a little bit of goodwill. It doesn't buy many bottles of plonk. So I think I could certainly justify that expenditure on behalf of our residents. I think Christchurch is a place that's had a real belting with earthquakes and all sorts of difficulties. And we should be, I know we jest sometimes about, oh, look, are we really a sister city? Well, I think we jolly well ought to get off our backsides and do more to actually become a real sister city, because it is a very similar city to Adelaide in many ways, and it's a beautiful place. I'd like to see our name go to it.
Is there anyone speaking against? Councillor Byram.
Yes, so I'm in a bit of a quandary on this one, but when you actually look at the letter that has been received from that council, and I do reiterate it is not our sister council. We have Cockapunchy and we also do have Lucindal.
Narracourt, apparently.
Narracourt is a sister city. Yes, that's right. But it does say in the letter from there that they already have raised a fair bit of the money and there's only 13,000 still outstanding to be raised. They actually said it would be, if Adelaide Metropolitan Council has offered small sums of $1,000 or less, they could commence. So I'm really wondering why we've gone for the top dollar of $1,000. It could be less than that if we did want to contribute. So I am thinking that if every Adelaide Metropolitan Council gave $1,000, they're going to be getting a lot more than what they actually need. And I am a bit alarmed that they didn't have it insured. If it was from the earthquake and it was helping them out with rebuilding from that, but it's not, it was actually stolen. So I am in a quandary on this one.
Maybe if the City of Adelaide put up its rates by more than 0%, they could have paid for it, but just a passing thought. Anyone else speaking in favour of the contribution? Well, then I'll ask the mover to speak in reply. Thank you.
I believe that we can support in this way. I believe that this is appropriate in this instance, and I concur with the comments that Councillor Gart has made in this regard.
All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against? So the motion is defeated. So if administration could advise accordingly. Thank you. I think we've next got page 436, the Waste Management Project Prudential Review. Very exciting that councils have bound together to escape the prohibition of the ACCC and have been able to tender for a hugely cost-saving waste management contract. Of course, we have to do our prudential investigation of that. That's what this is about. Well, Councillor Hutchinson to move. Did you wish to speak to it? Councillor Valescu to second. Wish to speak to it? Anyone against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Yep, it's a brilliant opportunity. Well done, Mr. Skull, for your part in that. Page 430, and Mr. Mifsud, thank you indeed. Lots of work done on that. Page 438, Vietnam Veterans Federation. You're aware that they have well and truly established a structure next to the Marion RSL building. And you can read the history there in the report. They're wanting to name their new building. Councillor Byram to move.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, sir. And really encouraged by this one and excited to actually move this. The Vietnam Vets are really excited with their new building. It is going along incredibly, the building, and they're going to be hopefully starting to move in the end of this month. And the opening is going to be the 14th of December. So that's why this has come to us now, that we need to approve this name, because they want to open it for the 14th of December as the Yerbury Centre. It really has meaning for them, this name, and they're all excited. When I was at the AGM, they really, really embraced this as being what they would like with the history that this family has had with them. So I do recommend fully this
Councillor naming. Telfer, seconding the motion. Do you wish to speak? Anyone against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we now move on to reports for information, including our current finance report on page 400, that's on page 439. On page 453, we have the corporate and CEO KPI quarterly report. I don't see anything exceptional in that, but happy to take questions. We have the investment performance report, which is reasonably positive, on page 456. And we have the questions on notice register on page 462. We have the work health and safety report on page 465. And I think I'll just go down to that point because people might want to discuss the other one a bit more depth. But I suggest all of those can be moved en bloc. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Move that way.
Councillor Valescu seconded. But happy to take questions on any of those reports. Councillor Hull.
Earlier tonight, Mr. Mayor, we heard about fines for various things within our city being $500,000 above anticipated revenue. In our report, there is an actual area for reporting on this, being other revenues. It talks about the Vietnam Veterans Federation grant and other things. Page 444. I'm just wondering in future whether we can get heads up about such changes, be it favourable or unfavourable, in our reporting, so rather than find out at the time when our auditors come that there is these changes within our budgetary systems.
Well, I suppose one might say that's the purpose of the more or less quarterly reports, but Mr. Biffswood, what could we do to improve the...
Through the Chair, yes, Councillor Hull, so the quarterly budget reviews do address that. In addition, we do get these monthly finance reports, which also highlight the significant variances.
And coincidentally, harking back to the report and the presentation by the auditor committee's chair, this would be the area that there would be that additional advice about carryovers embedded in this part of the report as well, as the progress of those carryovers being spent.
Through the Chair, Councillor Hull, what I committed to earlier this evening was that would actually come through as part of the quarterly budget reviews, because that's when our budget officers are updating their carryover progress. So we will provide a graphical representation of that being achieved and how we're progressing.
Well, clearly, pending a successful election, I'll be hot on this issue going forward, and all I'm doing is actually going back to what the alderman in this chamber instilled into me as a new councillor back in 1993 to keep an eye on this issue. So, I would encourage all councillors and the mayor to actually do that as well.
Any further questions, Councillor Gard?
Your Worship, just a minor one relatively, and that's regarding the tree planting. I noticed just lost my screen for a moment, but the schedule against budget was trailing by a couple of hundred thousand after July and August, and they are big planting months, so I was just wondering if there's an explanation for that glitch.
Mr. Lyons.
Councillor Gowd, it does look like it's trailing. I can't comment on those 2 months other than to emphasise it is only just the first 2 months, and you'll notice that it's flatlining after that for about 6 or 7 months. So I'd suggest it's just an early expenditure versus planting anomaly. I can get you an update, in fact, in the next couple of days on that.
Further. Mr. Minister, to add?
Through the Chair, if I can just add to that. So in terms of what's been achieved, which is the grey line, it is actually just slightly above what we're anticipating. The costs haven't come through yet, but they will do subsequently, which is what Mr. Lyons just effectively said.
Well, if there are no further questions, I'll put those motions on block. All those in favour? So that's carried unanimously. Thank you. I left out this one on higher density dwelling impacts on page 469 because I thought it was a touchy issue. Councillor Obelisco? If you recall, we asked staff to consider how we might, within our power, reduce the negative impacts of excessive subdivision and so on. And a few suggestions have been arrived at there. When I met with Minister Knoll this morning, he said that our higher diversity development assessment plan will be coming to him soon for consideration, so I'm still hopeful it'll be before the end of the year. And I specifically spelled out some of these negative impacts of higher density development and the reasons behind our DPA. And I said, look, above all, probably the biggest issue of all is parking. And I said it would be better to address it through the planning code, which he's going to bring in, and increase that fraction of parking on site that's necessary. And I said he'd be quite a hero if he did that, but we shall see. Now, Councillor Blescu, you want to move and speak?
Yeah, look, I'm happy to move that we note the report and that we do pursue some changes. I think the planning code is one of them, although I don't think the planning code will do enough. There's lots of small streets within our ward and other places as well, and the extra dwellings are just causing hazards for people. Some of those small streets don't have the luxury of changes where council is paying for, like in these examples. And I think also council did have the opportunity to consider parking on verges, and we decided against it, but I think we may need to revisit it. At the moment, we can do indents, but they have to be a whole car length. And some of those verges aren't a whole car length. And other places, you do see half a car will be parked on the verge. Now, I do understand there are some issues with that as far as our infrastructure, but I do think we will need to consider that sooner rather than later. It is a significant issue. We're not raking in lots and lots of money from these subdivisions. It's only an extra 1% of new dwellings, 1 to 1.5% of new dwellings throughout the city. But they're clustering, they're happening in the same place, and residents don't think we don't care about them, they just think we see the extra dwellings. When the fact is that we'd like to be able to help them, but we're very limited. And when problems arise, we actually have to deal with them, regardless of the planning laws, which actually don't anticipate those problems. And that's the issue. So if Minister Knoll can be a hero and come in and change the planning laws and actually give us more power to actually change and control our planning laws, that would be great. And I think it will need superhuman powers to deal with the department, because I think that's been the main stumbling block for us.
Councillor Pryor, seconding?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Anything further? Doesn't have to be.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is a bit of tempering of things we don't agree with. This is a band-aid for, as Councillor Bursky said, a band-aid for a more serious problem in our city. And the couple of examples that we've got in the notes are where parking has been put into places where there was other things like trees and other amenities. So I'm not 100% sure that this is the magic band-aid that we want it to be going forwards. And I think there's probably a lot more discussion needs to be had here. And hopefully Minister Knoll is our knight in shining armour. We'll see.
Yeah, knight, that would be. Speaking against the motion?
Mayor, because noting...
Councillor Hull, go ahead.
Because noting this report only notes the issues raised by the speakers, that it seems to be some sort of simplistic band-aid to a much bigger problem. And I'm not going to note a report that is, flimsy. the reality is that we councillors are going to be judged on this very soon, some more than others, because there's some parts of the city that are more prone to this sort of development than others. I think that the ward that I represent is a hot spot. It does mention Trot Grove, that's just one example. Rightly or wrongly, I and others will be held responsible for the current situations in their street. And they don't know that it's outside of our controls. They don't realise that we only have one elected member now on the DA, on the whatever it's called, the cap, and basically we're being disenfranchised in terms of the planning stuff. The other thing is, Mr. Mayor, is that this header talks about high-density dwelling impacts on adjacent infrastructure and local parking management, all right? This is focused primarily on parking. It doesn't actually talk about loss of solar access. Now, I raised this probably 20 years ago in this place, anticipating solar electricity panels weren't even thought of then. It was only solar hot water. And here we are today with it being raised, and only because people are being impacted on. People invest big money into solar panels, be it hot water or photovoltaic cells on their roof, and then find a two-storey building built next door completely blocking their solar access, and they're absolutely powerless to do anything about it. They've lost their investment, and we should have anticipated this. There needs to be a report that is wholesome and not myopic about this, or flippant. And I see this report as being myopic and flippant, because this is a much bigger issue impacting on our residents. And we really should be prepared by now instead of sitting on our hands. And we need state government assistance to do this as well. I concede that. Now, there was much criticism of the previous government in terms of planning. John Rowell was criticised quite a lot. Will the new regime actually bring about any significant change? There's nothing to show so far. I hope that will be forthcoming. But I hope
we have 5 minutes left. Anyone else speaking in favour of noting the report? Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I think I've said it in this chamber before, but buyer beware is the saying. If you're going to buy in a location that has a planning policy with higher density, that's what you can expect. I support the motion fully. You've got two examples given in the report on page 470, where we have gone and facilitated more cars on the street, and we've taken out medians, and although one of them was haphazard, as it's noted in the report, they actually provided a place for vegetation and greening our streets. And we have gone and poured out the turf there, and it looks atrocious, to be quite frank. If buyers are going to buy these places or rent these places and they do not have enough car spaces, that is their problem, not ours. We should not make it our problem and reduce the amenity of our streets by taking out medians. That's my first point. Second point is that adjacent infrastructure is quite right there. There's not much on that. The poor quality reinstatements that we have across the city, where SA Water, of all people, are doing poor quality reinstatements when they're cutting through the road to put these sewers in and then backfilling them, and they're not coming back for weeks later and then trying to reseal them in a very poor way. That's my other concern. And the other one on the reinstatement side is developers that shoot through and sell these properties and they haven't been held to account with their reinstatements. They need to be held account even if they have sold those properties, and I want to see our policy change in that in the future.
Anyone else speaking at all? Councillor Byram, 3 minutes to go.
Thank you, Your Worship. Procedure motion first. Do we need to deal with
There's nothing
else
time sensitive.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Apart from the Garrick one, which we're about to announce. But if you're not interested, we can just leave it.
We'll just move to extend to just include that one. No, just do it. Okay. I just have a quick point because I have a question in regards to it. But when we're talking about the infrastructure, But I want to also talk about services. The picking up of the garbage bins and the high density in the parking is affecting residents with their garbage bins. I've been told that if there are parking on both sides of the street and the truck can't get down, their bins are not cleared and are not emptied. So if we are allowing high density in parking that is affecting services that we provide, I'd like to know how much that is happening within the community.
Rightio, staff will note that down. We've thrashed it around a bit. I suggest that we just put it to the vote now. All those in favour of noting the report? Those against? The motion's carried. Now, we've got a minute to go. We can either... A procedural motion could include some other items. Nothing else is time sensitive other than going back to the Garrock motion. So, and we really just need to announce what that is. So it's up to you. Councillor Velescu.
I'm just to deal with this motion.
To deal with this motion, yes. Well, it's a motion. You don't have to agree to it. But moving to deal with this motion and then conclude. Councillor Price seconding. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by a majority, so we'll just deal with this issue. The voting paper's back on page 359, the report's 357. For those who are following, so we just... okay, the women are giving a strong showing here. We've got Deputy Mayor Janet Byram in the lead, closely followed by Crystal Mix. Mayor David O'Loughlin, hasn't he been put out the pasture yet? He's come into third place. And halfway through, we've got Councillor, it's a bit hard to see on the other side of the field. Ah, Mickey Boucher, yes, she's come in fourth place. The women are doing well. So here we come, looking around the second half of the field, Mayor Karen Redman, a mayor from out of town, has come in at fifth place. And now sixth place, coming around the bend, we've got Deputy Mayor, can't be Janet Byram again, here we are, Deputy Mayor Jean Claire Wisdom from the Hills, and nearly finished. We've got Councillor Don Palmer, didn't expect that one. A long shot, coming in at number seven. And finally, Mayor Gillian Aldridge from Salisbury, coming in at number eight. So that, members, is the motion. Moved, Councillor Telfer. Seconded, Councillor Westwood. And I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. And so I declare the meeting closed. Thank you, members. Thank you, staff. And thank you to candidates who have, it might be the last meeting for some people. So best wishes to everyone. Morituri te salutante. We who are about to die salute you.